Thank you to Pastor Paul and the praise team for leading us in worship this morning and centering in on that theme of love, a great theme for today. In the words of Jesus, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. You've probably noticed already this morning by looking at your bulletin, looking at the sermon title, looking at the text, the biblical text. We're going to step away from Romans again. I apologize, but sometimes important things come up and we need to kind of go off the path that we had planned and follow the Lord's path for a Sunday morning. Church leadership has some very important information to share with you this morning regarding the future of our school. And by our school, I mean Mercer Christian Academy, which is housed here in our facility at Johnston Chapel. When I say leadership, I mean pastors, deacons, also mean the Johnston Chapel members of the MCA board, 19 men altogether that I'm speaking of there when I say church leadership. I wish we could have communicated with you earlier on this particular issue, but I hope you'll understand because of the private nature of the issue, the sensitive nature of this issue. There were many discussions, many decisions that kind of had to happen in private, behind closed doors, privately with that group of 19 individuals that I referred to moments ago. However, what brings me comfort is this. All 19 of those individuals who have been chosen by you, the church, the larger church body, to represent you in leadership, all are unanimous. All 19 individuals are unanimous on this issue, which again brings me comfort and confidence in bringing this before you this morning. And I will get to preaching, but I got to kind of set the stage, and then I'd like to tie God's Word to what I'm sharing with you. For more than 40 years, Maranatha Baptist Church and Johnston Chapel Baptist Church have shared the ministry of Mercer Christian Academy. And through the years, philosophy of ministry have changed, yet both churches have worked together by the grace of God to provide a very critical ministry to our community, to Mercer County and to beyond. However, the compromise to keep the churches in partnership has created a ministry that neither church can fully embrace. And it's become, especially in recent years, recent months, just increasingly evident that the two churches are different enough in philosophy that direct cooperation is no longer feasible. Now, some of you have been here a very long time. These challenges, which I can't get into the nitty-gritty details of, I'll give you some overarching idea of what we're talking about, but these challenges go back to the ministry of preacher Jimmy Jones. We're talking way back. They continued on through the ministry of Pastor John King, and we're still facing some of those challenges now under my ministry over the last 6 years or so. Much time and resources are spent at board meetings, other settings, focusing on differences in philosophy rather than Christian education. That just shouldn't be. It can't be. And really, this is what I'm sharing, was a major factor in Mark Patton's resignation going back to November, resigning as administrator of Mercer Christian Academy. Again, I can't get into the nitty-gritty details, but these challenges I'm speaking of played a role in his stepping away from the ministry here. The leadership of Johnston Chapel desires that the middle school and high school, as a ministry of the church here, better represent our philosophy of ministry. Maranatha believes the same way about the elementary school as a ministry of their church, that it ought to better represent their philosophy of ministry. I know what you're thinking. What do we mean by difference in philosophy? That's a tough one to pin down. I will say this. It reveals itself in many meetings, many meetings, in many, many specific ways. But if I'm going to give you a big, again, I'm going to stay in general terms. If I'm going to give you a big picture in most general terms, we believe differently about Christian liberty. That's probably the best way to say it in a simple statement. In Christ, we're free. We're free. We're free from sin, of course, free from sin and death in Christ. But more than that, we're free from an external set of legal rules. And I hope that you've walked in your Christian life long enough to know that not every issue is black and white. You can't always open the Bible and point to chapter and verse on every issue that we face, every challenge, everything that comes up in Christian life. And please don't understand me. There are issues to which the Word of God speaks directly and clearly, right? I think we all know that and believe that. When God gives a direct and clear word on something, what do? We obey. We do what God tells us to do. So don't misunderstand me there. There are commands that we are to obey that are directly and clearly related to us in the Scripture. However, there are many issues to which the Word of God does not speak directly and clearly. On those particular issues, we're free, right? We're free in Christ to walk by the Holy Spirit, okay? We have a freedom there to walk by the Holy Spirit. In other words, we're free to function in the overflow of the work of the Holy Spirit within us. We do not react to an external code. We respond to a person, and that person is the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So, generally speaking, that's what I mean by we believe differently about Christian liberty. I hope you have your hearing aids turned up this morning. There's some very important information I need to share. I want you to hear me clearly. We have no desire. We have no desire to harm Maranatha Baptist Church in any way. No desire to harm our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's exactly who they are. Our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. However, there is a time and place to work together hand in hand. And then there's a time and place to continue to work together, but from a distance. And we believe that we've reached that point. We believe that both churches, both campuses would better succeed working together from a distance. Which is why, again, the pastors, the deacons, the Johnston Chapel members of the MCA board have recently made a proposal to the larger board of Mercer Christian Academy. I guess I need to clarify, there are four members, Johnston Chapel members of our board, school board. There are four Maranatha members of our school board as well. So we made a presentation to them and also to the larger leadership team of Maranatha Baptist Church. And the proposal was this. Upon the close of the academic year, we recommend that Mercer Christian Academy be separated into two organizations, with the elementary school under the direct and complete supervision of Maranatha Baptist Church, and the middle school and high school under the direct and complete supervision of Johnston Chapel Baptist Church. The leadership of Maranatha has received that proposal. They have prayed over that proposal, and they have come to the same conclusion that we have. I don't know the number of leaders involved in that decision, but their entire leadership team is unanimously in support of the proposal. They have also communicated clearly with me. This is an important one because, you know, when word gets out, talk begins to happen. They will not be starting a middle school and high school on their campus. Okay, and hear me. We will not be starting an elementary school on our campus. This is a partnership. We need to continue to work together at a distance going forward. So to clarify again, upon the close of the academic year, Mercer Christian Academy will be separated into two organizations, the elementary school under the direct and complete supervision of Maranatha Baptist Church, the middle school and high school under the direct and complete supervision of Johnston Chapel Baptist Church. Let me clarify a little bit more. That means that the elementary school will have their own administrator and their own school board. The middle school and high school will have their own administrator and their own school board. I know you're tracking with me. I'm just spelling out as clearly as I can. this morning. The names of the two entities, I don't have an answer for that. That's to be determined. We've not gotten into the details. I'm being honest with you. This is where things stand, what I'm sharing with you this morning. Many things to work through still. Our desire from day one, and we're going back years, really, but from day one when the ball really got rolling on this, was to work toward an amicable and peaceful transition. That's my heart. I want to partner with our brothers and sisters at Maranatha to see through a peaceful transition. And God has honored that. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to get up here. I'm not blowing smoke. I'm telling the truth. God has done what I believe to be a miracle in the background of all this, just being at work so that there is not conflict, so that there is peace, so that I can get up and honestly tell you this is how we're moving forward as a school ministry. I'm just so thankful for that. You might be wondering, I'm sure it's already crossed your mind, why now? Right? Why now? Why after decades of working together, why separate now? I can't paint a phony picture to you that there's been perfect unity for 40 years and now all of a sudden there's division. As I said, some of these challenges go way, way back. And some of you that have been here a very long time know what I'm talking about. So there's been division and challenges for a long time. But why now? Here's a clear answer, an honest answer. We, meaning our leadership at Johnston Chapel, cannot in good conscience hire another administrator to serve under the current structure. It is not working. Our current structure, to be quite frank, is chewing up and spitting out administrators, one after another, after another. In good conscience, we can't ask a family to uproot, come here, settle, and get caught in the crossfire of the two churches. That person is doomed for failure. And in good conscience, at this moment, we cannot bring someone else in the way things currently stand. God has provided a highly, and here's where I have peace and confidence in this, God has provided a highly qualified administrator for the elementary campus. And I thank God for that. I want the best for them. I want to see our elementary campus succeed. Why? There are brothers and sisters in Christ, and those students eventually make their way on to the middle school and high school campus. We want them to be successful. They have a person ready to step in, someone who's qualified, who will do an excellent job on the elementary campus. God has also provided us a highly qualified administrator and for this middle school and high school, a member of our church, a member who believes as we do, who holds our philosophy of ministry. That person is Dr. Kathy Hawks. Dr. Kathy Hawks has agreed to step into that role. I get a little emotional about it because, as I said, God has been moving and working in special ways behind the scenes for quite some time. Kathy Hawks is Distinguished Professor of Education and the Director of Clinical Experience at Concord University. She served there since 2000. Prior to joining Concord, she spent over 20 years in the classroom in education as a teacher. Her own words, teaching is not what I do, it's who I am. And if you know Kathy, that's a true statement. Of course, she's a follower of Jesus first and foremost, but her heart is teaching, and she is a gifted teacher. I just thank God for giving us a highly, highly respected person in our community. In the educational world, there's no one more highly respected than Dr. Kathy Hawks. And most importantly, right here, right? I see heads nodding. Kathy Hawks is highly respected as one of our own, as our part of our church family. She's away. She's not hiding. She's at a conference today down in Florida. I feel real bad for her down in the sunshine. But I hope she'll have an opportunity to share her heart with you all. You need to hear how God's been working in her heart. I do want to give you a little background, though. I knew Kathy was retiring in May. And as we began to discuss the possibility of a separation, you can't begin a new entity without a face. You can't start something new without an excellent qualified leader. And that was the first domino. That was a big deal. Maybe the first hurdle that we had to get over. I knew she was retiring May, but in my mind it was a long shot. When I say long shot, I mean long, long shot here. I'm not kidding. I guess I'm just doubting, lack of faith there. I called her into my office by text, okay? When your pastor calls you into his office, you get nervous. So, not that you all need to be afraid of me. And Kathy's like a mom to me, so anyway, she's not. I should be more afraid of Kathy than Kathy of me. Don't tell her I said that. Okay. But I called her in the office and I told her, I said, hey, listen, I've got a question. I don't want her to be nervous. I said, I've got a question about education. Her mind immediately went to Kate right here, 12th grader going into college. He's got a question about Kate going into college. So I kind of painted a picture for her of where things are at with Mercer Christian. And then I dropped the bomb and she got blind. She was shocked, obviously. She had no idea what she was coming and getting herself into. But it was amazing. As I shared that with her, she got a little filled up. She got filled up again later when we prayed together. But she said, you know, Dan, I've been praying for a long time. I don't want to go home and sit on my couch. Yes, I'm retiring in May, but God's got something for me to do. And I've been praying that God would open a door for me to serve Him in more meaningful ways going forward. And then she said, in recent, I can't remember if it's months or weeks, you'll have to ask her or we'll let her share later. But more recently, I've been praying specifically that God would open a door in education for me. She told me that in that meeting. And in her mind, there are no coincidences, right? It's the providence of God. I'm being asked to help in a transition. And I'm praying for God to open a door in education. And she put two and two together. She didn't give me an answer then. I said, Kathy, take all the time you need. Talk with Jerry. Obviously, that's important. You need to be together on this. And they did that. They prayed together and talked together about a little more than a week later. She says, I'm all in. 100%. I have no doubt in my mind that God is calling me to lead Mercer Christian Academy through this transition. I say, praise God. Praise God for that. I'll say this too. The Lord confirmed that not just in Kathy's heart, but as a leader of the school, the Lord's confirmed that in my heart, obviously, the hearts of our pastors, the hearts of our deacons, our 10 deacons, the hearts of our MCA, school board members, everyone's all in on this. And Kathy's all in 100%. And again, it comforts me to know, and I hope you understand this, I'm not a dictator at Johnston Chapel. Those of you who sat under my leadership to this point, I don't ramrod things through. That's not the way pastors are called to lead. There's been consensus, there's been unanimous agreement. All the way, I've sought wisdom of people who are away from the situation, who can be objective and speak truth to the situation. And this is where everyone has landed on this particular issue. I'll say this, no doubt the Lord is moving, though separation is difficult. It's not easy. This is not something I desire to be on my record, but what I'm grateful for, why we're willing to do hard things is because there's something fantastic, something amazing that's ahead of us in the future. God can do amazing things, is doing, and I believe we'll do greater things through the ministry of Mercer Christian Academy going forward. We want what's best for our students. We want what's best for their families. We want what's best for our school. Our staff, I mean, and their families, we want what's best for both churches. I can honestly say that before God this morning. An incredible opportunity on this campus. Not everyone's in the know on what happens here at Mercer Christian Academy, but 5 days a week, 120 young people walk through the doors of this building. This building gets used more by Mercer Christian Academy than by our church people. I don't know if you knew that, but 5 days a week, there are 120 students and staff and others that are gathered here to educate children, to disciple children. The number there, 120, in my opinion, is only going to grow. Some of you have heard of the Hope Scholarship and new avenues for paying for Christian private education. That's available. I see that growing exponentially in the days ahead. We have an opportunity here to educate children. And you know, we've always been about parental choice. Hear me. Don't turn me off this morning. We've always been about parental choice. We will always be about parental choice. In fact, if you look across our staff, we have children in different places. It's a parent's choice if they want to homeschool. Many of you do that. We did that for a season. It's a parent's choice if they want to send their child to public school. And it's a parent's choice if they want to send their child to Christian school here at Mercer Christian Academy. I'll say this, Mercer Christian Academy is a fantastic option for your family. And we'll just leave it there, okay? And the opportunity we have here again is to educate students from a biblical worldview. We can evangelize in our school. We can disciple young people. And here's our heart as leaders, that God will raise up a generation from this church, yes, where young people are involved in all different types of education, but specifically in our school, that God would raise up a generation of laborers for the harvest. Young people who know what they believe, who will go out and engage culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our heart behind the school. And I believe, again, great things are ahead for us there. A bright, bright future. And as we move ahead and the school begins to, and it does in some ways, but begins to better represent us as Johnston Chapel, I'm prayerful about this, that we can all be all in on the school as an excellent opportunity for education. That we can all see the value of what's happening here in ministry together. Embrace it as an important ministry of our church. I think for a long time, and I'm going off script. I usually get in trouble when I go off script, but that's okay. I think it must need to be said. I think for some time, Mercer Christian Academy has been kind of off to the side a little bit. Okay? Maybe unintentionally even. Maybe even among the leadership of the church. We've kind of held Mercer Christian off to the side a little bit as a distance. But if it's a ministry of our church, if it's something that we're passionate about, then we ought to fully embrace it and we ought to invest in it. And I hope, I'm prayerful that that can be the case as we move forward as a church. So I told you I'd preach. I won't preach long, I promise. But I think we can tie some of what's happening here, the current situation, to what the Scriptures have to say about these things. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. And now the sermon title makes a little bit more sense, despite our differences. And this is very important. Don't take the announcement now and shut down. Because there's some important truth that needs to be attached to this announcement, which is why I gave the announcement first. And now I hope you'll just open your heart and mind to what the Word of God has to say to all of us today. The theme of our study this morning is this. We are called to pursue unity despite disagreements. We're called to pursue unity despite disagreements. Earlier I stated, we believe both churches, both campuses can succeed better working together at a distance. How can that be, Pastor? How can that be? How can separation be positive and beneficial? How can that be? Let me put a little scripture behind what I've shared already this morning. Disagreements among Christians, Nothing new, right? There's nothing new under the sun. I just look around. We probably had some among each other here, and that's okay. There's nothing new under the sun. We look back in the early church. They existed then. Right out of the gate, there were disagreements in the church. Before I read the narrative here, Acts chapter 15, I want to give you a little context. Amazing things were happening in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is incredible what God was doing. The gospel was advancing. Churches were multiplying. God was at work in amazing ways in the book of Acts. First missionary journey. Paul and Barnabas go out. The world is turned upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the transforming power of the gospel is spreading all around the known world. Then the Jerusalem Council meets, Acts chapter 15, and they determine that Gentiles don't have to become Jews in order to be saved, in order to be Christian. So there was unity there at the Jerusalem Council. A very important decision was made. There were some decisions made about the point of Christian liberty was discussed there. And there are things we should abstain from, and there are things we should do socially to promote unity. So that was basically, in summary, the Jerusalem Council that happened in Acts 15. So incredible things are happening. The gospel is advancing. The church is unified. And then comes this story. Right after the Jerusalem Council, Acts chapter 15. Paul tells Barnabas, hey, let's go and revisit all the churches that we went to, that we planted on our first missionary journey. Let's strengthen those churches. That would become their second missionary journey together. Paul and Barnabas, first missionary journey. Now Paul and Barnabas, second missionary journey. Or would there be a second missionary journey for these two apostles together? Let's look at the text. Acts chapter 15. I'm just going to read the whole narrative and then we'll kind of break it down a little bit. Verse 36. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark, but Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So the gospel was advancing. The church was multiplying, God was moving, but it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. There was a challenge. First, there was a sharp disagreement. A sharp disagreement. Paul and Barnabas preparing to set off on their second missionary journey. Paul again wanted to strengthen the churches that they had already planted. Barnabas liked the idea. That makes sense, Paul. Let's bring along Mark with us. But Paul disagreed because Mark had deserted them. Go back to Acts 13. We won't turn there, but Acts 13:13. Partway through, Mark left the work on the first missionary journey. He went back to Jerusalem. We don't know why. The Holy Spirit doesn't reveal to us why Mark left the work. Was it too difficult? Did he miss home? Right? Did he lose some passion over the mission? We don't know what the reasons are. We might guess what one of them might have been, but we don't know for sure. But what we do know is Paul didn't want to bring him along, and things got heated, right? Things got very heated between Paul and Barnabas. They had a sharp disagreement. Greek word for sharp there literally means to cut as with a sword. A sharp cutting disagreement. I'm thankful the Bible doesn't gloss over things, right? Holy Spirit, it's inspired. God breathed it out. Men wrote it down. God glosses over nothing. He presents the truth as it is, the failures, the disagreements, the conflicts, the difficulties, God puts it all out there for everyone to see. Paul and Barnabas, both apostles, right? Both apostles of Jesus Christ. Paul and Barnabas, both preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These were two great men in the early church. Godly men. Praying men. Men who would say, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. We want to hear your voice. We want to follow you. We want to take the gospel where you want it to go. So good men, apostles, preachers, godly praying men, seeking the Lord's will. What happened? They came to very different conclusions about Mark. Very different conclusions. Not unlike us, right? Not unlike us at all. On this side of heaven, there will always be disagreements. Hate to say that. But on this side of heaven, there will always be disagreements. We're all sinners. We're all sinners saved by the amazing grace of God. We all lack perfect wisdom, don't we? To apply truth. We all lack knowledge. Don't miss this. The leaders at Johnston Chapel Baptist Church lack wisdom and knowledge, though we seek it from the Lord. The leaders at Maranatha Baptist Church lack wisdom and knowledge, though they also are seeking that from the Lord. We all fall short. We're all sinners. We're all lacking. And that's why some of these sharp disagreements come up. Disagreement is so sharp that it results in a separation, which leads us to our second thought this morning, a separate direction. Barnabas takes Mark. They set out by sea to Cyprus. Paul takes Silas. They set out by land to Syria and Cilicia. No longer one team and one direction, but two teams, two directions. Who was right? Who was right? It's a tough one. It's a tough one. And we need to kind of talk through that a little bit. Scriptures are silent. I think intentionally so. I think intentionally so. The Holy Spirit has not revealed to us who was right. Barnabas wanted to take Mark on the second missionary journey despite his withdrawal from them on the first missionary journey. That word wanted. Barnabas wanted to take Mark. Translated determined in the King James. Really a better rendering there in the King James. Barnabas was determined to take Mark along. That Greek term means to be minded with strong purpose. Barnabas had made his decision after long deliberation. He wasn't changing his mind. He was set in his way on this one. Mark was going to come along with him on this journey. So very immovable, set in his mind. We know the Apostle Paul well enough too to know when he set his mind to something, he wasn't going to change his mind. So he felt very strongly on the opposite side of the issue, stood equally firm on his position. Mark wasn't going. Barnabas, Mark is going. A battle of the wills, right? We want to know who's right when we read this. We want to know the end of the story, who was right in the situation. We do know Paul's perspective. It's revealed to us in the text. Mark had deserted the team partway through. He wasn't ready. He didn't need to go on the second missionary journey. So we know the heart, the perspective of Paul on the situation. We don't know exactly the perspective of Barnabas, but we can do some guessing. We can do some assuming here. I would imagine that Barnabas agreed with Paul, a man should be faithful to what God's called him to. Okay? He wasn't going to make an excuse for Mark. Mark failed. Mark deserted them. He turned back. I think they both were in agreement on the seriousness of desertion there. But we can also assume that Barnabas believed past failures don't disqualify a person from future ministry. And I thank God for that. Otherwise, I wouldn't be standing in the pulpit this morning. Past failures don't disqualify a person from future ministry. Peter, case in point, right? Denied Jesus 3 times, then becomes a pillar, becomes part of the foundation of the church, the early church, in preaching the gospel. Barnabas was an encourager, we might say. He saw potential in Mark. We need to give this guy a second chance. He's valuable in ministry. We need to take this guy along on this second missionary journey. Again, I ask you, who's right? Who's right? Let's take a vote. Let's not. Right? Sharp disagreements. We don't need any of those in here this morning. There's been enough of those challenges. Right? No vote. No vote. Scripture doesn't reveal who was right and who was wrong. Now, I know what you're thinking. The end of the text there, Pastor. Right? The church supported Paul and Silas in their ministry. True. It was confirmed. It was supported. And there's no word about Barnabas and Mark and their journey. But I think we need to be careful there on coming to any final conclusions. Why? Because Luke, as he writes the book of Acts, as he chronicles the early church, he's really tracing Paul, isn't he? He's tracing Paul from this point all the way forward, all the way through the end of the book of Acts. It's really about the ministry and the apostleship of Paul. So don't get too far ahead of yourself there. Yes, the early church supported Paul and Silas's ministry. Yes, there's silence about Barnabas and Mark. But we need to be careful, not make too much of it there. We also need to understand this. The sharp disagreement wasn't about fundamental beliefs. Wasn't about essential Christian doctrine. Don't miss this. This is very, very important. Their disagreement wasn't over the existence of God, or the deity of Christ, or the inspiration of the Scriptures, or the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It wasn't about any of those foundational Christian beliefs. It was about Mark. Do we take Mark, or do we not take Mark? The sharp disagreement also wasn't over moral failure. As I said before, the Bible says we ought to do and not do certain things. So it's not like Mark committed adultery and, well, let's just sweep that under the rug. He's important in ministry. It's all going to be okay. It wasn't anything like that either. No moral failure, no foundational Christian belief. And get this, Paul and Barnabas, two men fully committed to Christ, fully committed to the gospel, who disagreed about the application of biblical principle. Okay? Please open your ears to that. Two men fully committed to Christ, fully committed to the gospel, who disagreed over the application of biblical principle. That's going to happen. This wasn't black and white. There was no chapter verse in the Old Testament for these guys to go to make a decision about John Mark there, about Mark. Paul was focused on what principle? The principle of faithfulness. A servant of Jesus Christ ought to be faithful. Paul's not wrong. Barnabas is focused on what principle? The principle of forgiveness, right? Our God is a God of second chances, a God of opportunities. Because you failed once doesn't mean you're not of value in ministry. Faithfulness, forgiveness. The application of those things brought these two men to two very different opinions, two very different positions on this issue. After centuries of discussion, we still don't know, by the way, who was right and who was wrong on this. Going back to maybe neither. Maybe neither. So let's return for a minute to the case study of this service, which is our school, Mercer Christian Academy. It's not that one church is right and the other church is wrong. Okay? I'd be proud to stand up here and say that. It's not that one church is right and the other church is wrong. It's just we're different. We're very different when it comes to philosophy. And because of that, we believe it's best to go in a different direction.
Do you remember our question from last week, Romans 4, our study? I wrapped things up with it. That last final statement was a question.
How big is what? How big is your God? You weren't sleeping on me, were you? How big is your God, right? Our God is big enough to overcome, we might say, to overrule disagreements in His providence. Our God's sovereign. He knows the beginning from the end. Our God is bigger than our disagreements. His providence overrules them. Think about it in the story here, in the narrative. One team with one mission became what? Two teams with one mission. Same mission, right? They went to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. One team with one mission becomes two teams with one mission. More work was accomplished because the two teams went out. Even though there was a disagreement, even though there was a separation, more work was accomplished. More people heard the gospel. More churches were planted. I believe the very same thing will hold true for our Christian school in a separation. God will bless. There will be multiplied fruit on both campuses. Leads us to the final thought for this morning, a similar destination. This is also an important one. A sharp disagreement, a separate direction, similar destination. When we look at this narrative, you don't have to choose sides. Hope you understand. It's not Team Paul or Team Barnabas. Okay? You have a right to formulate your own opinions, your own convictions on things. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But you don't have to take sides here, Team Paul or Team Barnabas. It's not Team Johnston Chapel or Team Maranatha. Hope you understand that too. It's Team Jesus. We're all brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We're not enemies. Please hear me. And I'm not saying anything I haven't said to them, and we've discussed openly as leadership of both churches. We are not enemies. Both groups believe this. We have the same destination in mind, which is what? Excellence in Christian education. Discipleship of young people. Producing lovers of Jesus who go out from our school and change the world. Destination is the same. So it's not Team Johnston Chapel or Team Maranatha. Again, it's Team Jesus. We must prioritize the mission despite our disagreements. We'd love it if we could read here, if this whole story was wrapped up in a neat little package and the bow was tied on top, right? Everybody hugged. There were apologies made, and everything was okay. We don't get that. Not on this specific issue. We don't know how things ended up. We know the two groups went their separate ways. There's only silence. But even though there's no resolution on this issue, it's interesting. Fast forward a little bit. 1 Corinthians 9. Paul speaking very highly of Barnabas as an apostle of Jesus Christ, as a co-laborer in the work of the gospel. So something happened there. We just don't know exactly what. Both men continued to serve as apostles. Both men spoke highly of one another as the years went on. By the way, Barnabas wasn't wrong. I'm saying Paul was wrong. Barnabas wasn't wrong about what he saw in Mark. Right? Fast forward on that one a little bit. Mark proved himself to be a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. How do we know? He wrote the gospel that bears his name, the gospel of Mark. Go forward a little bit more to the end of Paul's life, 2 Timothy 4.
Paul knows the end. He's going to die as a martyr for Jesus Christ. What does Paul say? Send me Mark. Why? Because he's valuable to me for the ministry. Isn't that amazing? Right? Two groups go their separate ways. Paul and Silas, Barnabas and Mark. Yet, fast forward a little bit, Paul speaks highly of Barnabas, Barnabas of Paul, and Mark. Both men now see the full value of this young man named Mark. He is valuable to us in the ministry. Very useful. I like what one writer had to say on this. One writer said this, Paul kept, we don't know this for sure, it's not chapter verse, but I believe it. Paul kept Barnabas and Mark on his prayer list. And I'm confident that Barnabas and Mark did the same for Paul. Don't take everyone who disagrees with you off your prayer list. Insofar as you think they're wrong, pray God would bring them into a right understanding. But inasmuch as they are still walking in the truth, ask God to bless them. That's good. That's true. The leaders of Maranatha Baptist Church ought to be on our prayer list. They're on mine already. The elementary school ought to be on our prayer list. And I would hope and I believe that that would be reciprocated from their leadership as well. Returning to the words of Jesus I shared as we got this part of our service started. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. A second is like it, right? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The words of Paul, 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That right there, that description of love, that's the way we ought to love our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ down the road from us. We're called to pursue unity despite disagreements. Disagreements will always exist. I hate to break the news to you. Disagreements will always exist on this side of heaven. Sometimes these disagreements will be sharp. Sometimes they will lead to separation, to people going in different directions. But don't lose sight of the destination, right? We are all brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, living out our lives for His glory. That's the destination that everything we do, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it what? Do it all for the glory of God. Same destination. So may we rest together in this truth. God is able to redeem disagreements for His glory. I praise Him for that. That God is able. We can't, but He can. God is able to redeem disagreements for His glory. I'm thrilled about the future. This was a very, very difficult decision. I can't tell you how many hours of prayer have gone into this decision. How many conversations have gone in. I mean, countless hundreds and hundreds of hours have gone towards this time right now, this moment. But I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled about the future for the elementary school. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't lie to you. There is a bright future ahead for the elementary school in Maranatha Baptist Church. Why do I say that? Because no longer are we butting heads with each other. No longer are we wasting time and resources on disagreements. Maranatha has the freedom to pour themselves completely into a ministry that represents them. One they can fully embrace. And the same is true over here, right? No more time and resources wasted. I hope. There'll still be disagreements, right? Even in-house, but no more time and resources wasted on disagreements. But now we can invest fully in making education excellent. invest fully in our students in discipleship of them. So I ask you, please join with us in prayer on this. There are still many, many hurdles, many, many challenges that lie ahead. But I will say, when this proposal went out, I would have never guessed we'd be in the position that we are this morning. And that's the grace of God. That's the providence of God. In fact, that's a miracle of God that we can still be brothers and sisters, that we can see things the same way. Yes, this isn't working. And that they wouldn't start a middle school and a high school, and we wouldn't start an elementary, but we continue to partner together at a distance. That's a miracle of God. I can't tell you how God has worked in all hearts involved in this. And again, I praise Him for that. And we will communicate with you again. I apologize for keeping you out of the loop, but some things just have to happen in private before they can come out publicly. And I appreciate your understanding on that. We will do our very best to communicate with the church, involve the church as we move forward with this process. Let's go ahead and take all of this to the Lord this morning. Father, you know how difficult this decision has been. Father, you know how much we've sought your face on this issue, how much the leadership of Maranatha has sought your face as well. And God, we ask and we believe that in your providence, in the midst of sharp disagreement, there can still be unity. Even going our separate ways, there can still be one destination, which is your glory, the advancement of the gospel, your kingdom coming. We thank you for that. We thank you for your greatness this morning, for your providence. God, I pray for peace. I thank you that you've given it, that I can stand up here and say that this morning. That's your work, your grace and goodness. Thank you for peace. I pray that that would continue, that we could work together, that we could work through some of the minor details, the fine points of this, that you might be glorified in those conversations, in those discussions. And Father, I pray for Maranatha Baptist Church, that you would bless them. God, that that church would grow, that you would build your church there as they preach the Word of God. I thank you for them. I pray for them as they're in the midst of searching for a pastor. God, we praise you again for your providence. We know that in your good time, you will bring the right person who will fill that purpose, fill that pulpit and preach the word, preach the pure gospel of Jesus Christ there. So I pray that you'd provide for them, that you'd bless the elementary school, that you'd bless the middle school and high school. And God, even as the transition begins, that you would bless the campuses even now, even this upcoming week, so that we can finish out this spring semester well. God, help us. We are so lacking. God, I'm nothing. I have no wisdom. I have no ability in this. We need you. We need your direction and your help in this. God, I pray for our church family that we might embrace this school. We might love it. We might be passionate about it together, that we might invest wholeheartedly in it. I ask that you move in our hearts that way as well. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll stand with me, we're going to have a song of invitation this morning. And I don't want to manipulate things this morning, but I know there are a lot of people in here deeply invested in this school, both campuses, some families across campuses, some down at the elementary, some here at the middle school and high school. Many people deeply invested. Many people invested decades. I see some of our board members out here invested decades of time for nothing, no payment, no nothing except a love for education and a love for children. You've poured yourself into this. I thank you for that. But I just want to open up the front this morning, and if you want to come and just pray for our school, Pray for our school. Pray for Maranatha, our brothers and sisters. Pray for peace. Pray that God might provide a godly man, a great leader for them in their ministry. But as the Lord leads you, I encourage you to come forward. I'm going to go ahead and pray. Anyone who wants to join with me, I encourage you to do so. As the Lord leads, I'm not twisting arms, but as the Lord guides you this morning.